You know, the world has a God who is full of love and compassion. And he wants to show the world, but the world makes choices. We made choices. One way, his way, leads to eternal life. The other, eternal judgment. Revelations 14, 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of the judgment of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and springs of water. Note here, it says all nation, tribe, tongue, people. He made them all. Now you can acknowledge that or not acknowledge that. That's true. But the Lord is the Lord of all, both now and forever. So let's examine for a moment who he is, what he does, and how he yearns to lessen our pains and sorrow. Webster's Third New International Dictionary describes compassion as, one, pay attention, please, deep feeling for and understanding of misery, or suffering, and the accompanying desire to promote its alleviation. Two, spiritual consciousness of the personal tragedy of another or others and selfless tenderness directed towards it. And that's what the Lord is. He's a God of compassion. That's what this mic is. Has no compassion whatsoever. You'll see the compassion or love hurts. I've entitled the message, which I usually don't give, Love, the Hurt of the Heart. Compassion, the Hurt of the Heart. And it hurts very deeply those who have it in their hearts. And that compassion should also be in you, if indeed our Lord has redeemed you and given you a new heart. We're not exempt. He wants us to have that. He wants us to care about others. If I were to ask you, how many of you have ever had a broken heart? I think, honestly, I believe everybody's arms would go up. That's my opinion, and I'm not asking. You know, we face many things in our lifetime. Some good, some not so good. Now, some lasts a lifetime. I'll give you some examples. Perhaps when a child is constantly told things like, I wanted a boy, I wanted a girl, why did I get stuck with you? And you know, that happens. Or again, you were constantly told that you were stupid or that you would never amount to anything. Or perhaps you lived in a household where father or mother were drug addicts or had a gambling habit leading to poverty. You were always without food, drink, clothing, or you were constantly being physically or mentally abused. These are the kind of pains that last a lifetime. But the Lord has a way out of that. Now, not as severe, such as, you know, but another type is you lose a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, a child. That causes pain. So what does our Heavenly Father intend to do to relieve our pain in our new life? Right from the start, everything begins with faith in him and his word. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He cares about these people. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Excuse me. What I'm saying here is that God's made a way because of both his love and his compassion available to the whole world. The choice is ours to make. Every choice is ours to make. Now, in the following scriptures, I'll show you how he lived when he walked the earth. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has shown us example upon example of his compassion for people, you and I included. Luke 7:12-15. Now, as he was approaching the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's the kind of God we serve. John 11:32-36. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, all of you know this one. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and Jesus who came with her also, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." That's how he feels about us. He'd love each and every one of us to come to him and know him. And he'd love to fellowship with us, you, me, spend time with us. Many ways don't happen because we're too busy. We're too proud. We're too into whatever religion we're in, whatever sect we're in, whatever. We don't want to seek the God who made the heavens and the earth. Luke 19:41-42. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes." One more, Luke 23:33-34. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Now, all of these examples about the compassion of our Lord Jesus, what does he want to do for your broken heart? What does he want to do for you? Technically, if you belong to him, he's already begun. Remember how quickly we forget. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." Choices, always choices. Acts 4:10-12. "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given
among men by which we must be saved.
What he begins to do is to change us, but from the inside out. We give him our hearts, our lives. We turn ourselves over to his wisdom, his grace, and he starts changing us
through his grace and mercy. Now, we can't take credit anymore for his work on Calvary, so that way, he alone gets the credit. It's no more I'm trying to be good, and I'm, you know, all the time we have an ulterior motive, or, you know, who knows? You know, we look at people differently. We find somebody who's a little worse than we are, and that makes us feel better. Ezekiel 11:19. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. That's what he does. Colossians 1:27. To whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Big statement right there. Powerful, true, solid. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you never had hope before, there it is. I hope you now realize that your body has now become his temple. If God's your Lord and Savior, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a nice building, but you are the church. You and I, he doesn't live in a building made with hands. He lives in his people. Please note what this implies. Because of what he's given us, we have responsibilities. We have things he expects. It isn't, oh, well, I'm all set now. Well, you kind of are. Notice I said kind of are. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Romans 8:10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. He has made you righteous. You couldn't do it, but he did. Remember when the Pharisees quizzed Jesus about this? They didn't understand it. This is what he says. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? Didn't understand. It's not about a nice building. It's about a personal relationship with the living God. Some of the changes that take place in our lives, sometimes it's so sudden we don't even see it ourselves. You know, I could give a little bit of my testimony right here. Yeah, let me do it. I'll just share one thing. After I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, no thunderbolts, no lightning. It didn't matter. I had asked him to become the Lord of my life, and he did. I knew that. I went to work that Monday, worked all week, all week. Friday comes around, end of the shift. I get called over by a dear, dear brother sitting right here in this assembly. He says, "Yvonne," he goes, "what's up with you?" I'm like, "What's he talking about? You know, what kind of a thing is that? What's up with you?" He says, "You've been here all week, and I haven't heard, excuse me, one swear out of your mouth." I'm telling you, it was like getting hit right between the eyes. I physically took 2 steps back, just like that. Amazed. I'm not going to share any more parts of my testimony for now, but some things took longer. You worked on it little by little, you know? Little by little. But we make solid ground. But one thing I will assure you, people around you notice. Amen. You know? I've always heard this term, the proof of the new birth is a new life. People see there's something different about you. You're not the same. You know, the They may scratch their heads. They may wonder, like, you know, what's up? But they know something's up. So how should we then live? How? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Compassion, see? The God of all comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's what he wants to do through us. He doesn't want us to just sit down. He wants us to do something. It doesn't matter whether you do it at work or anything else. If people are seeing a difference in you, sooner or later they're going to ask what it is. Proverbs 3:3-4. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I'm going to begin to close right here. I'll leave you with the decision only you can make. You know, I understand most of the people here, it's not for you. You know, most of you have been saved a long time. This is more of a teaching for whoever's online listening. But who knows? The Lord has a way of tugging at our hearts, maybe. Maybe wanting us to shore up some things. John 10:7-10. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself. Did you hear that? Test yourself. To see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you. Unless indeed you fail the test. So, two choices. That's all people have. Not tons of them. You can either follow your Heavenly Father who made the world, who loves, heals, delivers, sets free. Or you could follow the thief who comes to steal, to kill, who destroy, and we all know that. His name is Satan. The devil who hates, kills, destroys his fellow man, no matter what, like at the beginning, what his nation, tongue, tribe, or people is. He doesn't care about color. If you're not on his side, you're out of here, you know? So if you're a person that everything you search yourself, if all you think about is you have no love, all you do is think about, retaliation. All you think about is, this person's this person's a Jew, so we gotta hate the Jews. You know, this person's black or white or tan. Oh, we got to hate him because, he's not our color. I say, search yourself. You can figure out what God you're serving. Amen.